Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
I'm trying to think, episode 25. I'm Chuck Werner, and with me as always is my wonderful co-host, Dave Stern.
Welcome to the show.
I'm trying to think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. And then, to really get into it,
To deep dive in, super fan.
All super fans, friend. I'm trying to think on Twitter. We're just I'm trying to think.
You can go to Twitter. At I'm trying to think.
Twitter.com/I'm trying to think. Or you could become a fan on Facebook. Not a super fan, but we still consider you a super fan. But Facebook won't consider you a super fan. They'll just say fan. But still, you can go to Facebook, go into the search box, type I'm trying to think, and bam, you'll find us. That's how accessible we are.
We're men of the people.
It's a new year. It's 2010, the year we make contact, Dave. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. This might be... I think we could make it the year we watch Contact. That was an all right movie.
Yeah, it had that lady in it. Oh, wait, no. Matthew McConaughey's in that movie.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I don't want to watch that. I feel like Carl Sagan probably would have been like, can we not have this, like, weird Texan douchebag in the movie introducing concepts which were not really present in the book?
I don't... Oh, yeah, wasn't he... Was he religious in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a whole thing. Okay, well, enough about the film Contact. Because I think, you know, actually, considering the fact that we talked about it for more than 10 seconds, I'm going to go ahead and say too much about the movie Contact.
Yeah, that's too much. 2010, The Year We Made Contact, is a movie that was the follow-up to 2001 Stanley Kubrick classic.
Yep. Not so much Stanley Kubrick or classic.
No, 2001.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying 2010, from what I remember, was
not Stanley
neither
Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick nor
it's,
classic.
It's not a terrible movie. It is probably a classic just by virtue of its following of 2001 and some other stuff that, you know, and Roy Scheider, you know.
He does help make a movie a classic, especially if it's got a shark in it.
It helps if it's got a shark in it. But to be fair, he was in DSV, that TV show, which I think had many sharks, and...
Oh, SeaQuest. Yeah. Let's put Star Trek under the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. Now I want to watch a cop show with Roy Scheider and James Woods as the two cops.
Hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I'd watch it. Is it like buddy, like Lethal Weapon kind of wisecracking cops, or is it like gritty, like Homicide, The Wire kind of cops? Like, what are we talking
about? Law and Order. Kind of cost.
Okay, so Law
Jerry
and Order,
Orbacher,
sort of.
Kinda, and
okay, so
you know,
a little
other guy,
a little quippy but very procedural, episodic,
and focusing, I think, mostly on the cops, not too much on the DAs. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Give the cops their show with James Woods and Roy Scheider. All right, moving on. So, New Year, Dave. Have you made your New Year resolutions? Your New Year's resolutions.
You know, I actually have made maybe kind of one or two to myself, because here's the thing about New Year's resolutions, for me at least.
For you at least.
You know, I found, you know, New Year's resolutions as a tradition to be kind of corny and annoying, and I was kind of against it for a while.
All right.
But then, and New Year's is not the only holiday this has happened to. As a matter of fact, this is not even as bad for New Year's. The worst day for this, for me, is Valentine's Day, where the people who hate the holiday tradition and just bitch and bitch endlessly about it, like, you know, resolutions are dumb and hokey and, you know, just make a change. And again, on Valentine's Day, they're even worse. You know, Hallmark holiday blind, they just won't shut up about what a fraud it is.
Yes.
Those people, I know so many more of them, and they annoy me more than even the actual hokiness and jackassery of the holiday that annoys me. That I've kind of come back around and I'm just like pro-holiday just to be against those people.
You know, That's like, an interesting swing.
So, yeah. So, I've made New Year's resolutions, sort of, but it's kind of secondarily to improve myself and primarily, I guess, spiteful.
That's interesting. I don't know how I feel about out of spite, but, you know, Jerry Seinfeld learned you can't return clothes out of spite. I don't know that spite really justifies a lot of actions.
I know, but on the other hand, if, you know, I take this resolution, I take it seriously, and I do improve myself this year, but one of the motivations happens to have been spite, how is that a bad thing? You know, that seems to have worked out well for everyone.
That's ends justify the means kind of thinking, though.
Because the thing, it's not even spite that I'm actively throwing in people's faces. Like, I'm not going to be walking up to someone and be like, ha, I'm losing some weight because it's my New Year's resolution, ass. You know, I'm not doing that. It's sort of an internalized spite.
Right. The reason it's easy for me to make New Year's resolutions these days is because by the time I get around to mid-December, it's almost time for my extended vacation.
Because you I'm off, academia bastard.
Yeah,
you.
I'm off from the 24th well into January, you know. The first Monday after the first, basically.
Right.
Or the first day after the first. So it's really easy for me. I get like a week off before New Year's, and I'm sort of sitting back, and I'm like, all the various things that have piled up all year kind of just fluttering away.
And then sort of a sort of introspection
right.
kind of can wash over
it's easy,
you.
It's easy for me to think about, you know, what I could do better and what can change as I move into this new year because of the vacation. If it happened in April, I'd probably be able to do it the same way. Except the other thing is I think a lot more people kind of get relaxed or, you know, I'm seeing more people and I guess talk to more people, interact with more people, different people during the holidays because my friends come into town and things like that.
Yeah, you deal family. With weird family offshoots right. that you never had to deal
so
with.
So you start to get into like, I'm getting a little more perspectives and things are, you know, I'm in a room of mirrors, you know what I mean?
Oh,
speaking... Each person's face, Dave, is a mirror into my own soul.
Oh, that is kind of, now that I think about it a little more, that's a really poetic way to sort of talk about unimaginable narcissism.
Yeah.
Just massive narcissism.
Well, kind of. I mean, I don't know. Do you count introspection as narcissism? It's like, if you're an introspective person, like, say the Buddha's sitting under a tree and just thinking for years, is that narcissistic too?
You know, I kind of think it is.
I kind of think it isn't.
I'm willing to say yes.
I'm willing to say no. Ha.
Oh-ho.
Ah.
Oh-ho.
That's what's going on.
Yeah. I'm trying to argue.
I think narcissism is the opposite of self-critique. If you're giving yourself critique by being introspective and thinking about what you could change, I think that's the opposite of narcissism. Narcissism would be the belief that you're the way you are.
Okay, just so you think narcissism kind of is just the pure self-admiration aspect of it?
Right, it's pure ego. There's almost no substance to it.
Okay, I think in terms of, you know, if you want to get technical, the definition of the word narcissism that we've been using
as a culture and a nation.
I think you may be correct. And what I was getting at, the word I would probably say is that, you know, sort of introspection and, you know, everyone else's face is a window into my own soul is self-centered is what I was looking for.
That's more of everybody else's face makes me think of how great I am.
Then
I think
that's narcissism, yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking self-centeredness, but that's not quite a synonym.
You know, not to get too philosophical on our New Year's resolution talk, because it's not like this show is called I'm Trying to Think or anything.
No, no.
So I think, though, and I just lost my thought because I went off the tracks there. Don't do that, Dave.
Okay.
Just stick to what you're thinking.
Okay, in that case, I'll move on to a quick question, actually, because you're talking
about... Ask me a question, but then I'm going to come back to the
okay,
point
if
when I think
if
of
you
it.
Found
I'm
it.
I'm going to find it.
Okay, we'll see if you get it while we're talking. But anyhow, you're talking about getting new perspectives from your family. I'm trying to think. Because I remember a couple episodes ago, you mentioned shocking family discoveries over Facebook. You get any of that over the holidays?
Okay, see, now, here you go. You accuse me of talking all the time about how I'm an atheist and be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm an
and now I'm bringing it
and
up.
Now you're bringing
I'm
it
bringing
up.
It up.
Now you're bringing it up. No,
I make myself right.
The holidays were pretty clean. Like, there was a little bit of discussion, but it was like a ha-ha laugh discussion. Which okay. It is with my close family. My extended family wasn't anywhere to be found. They weren't around for Christmas.
Oh, then you're fine, so yeah, because that's the ones who are kind of weird about it, right?
I don't know how they feel about it. They have not said anything to me, which is pretty nice, really.
Yeah, that's a good relationship
to
cultivate.
Now that all of them are my friends on Facebook, they could all find this and listen to it and comment and write us mail at contact@imtryingtothink.com.
Yeah, sure. Chuck's family, if you want to use this as a sort of weird, passive-aggressive way to, you know, disagree with his religious choices.
It's all building up.
Feel free.
It's all building up. Even though we've never gotten a mail about any kind of religious topic. Philosophical topics sometimes, but never about religious topics. Which falls under, you know, falls into the same kind of because it's metaphysics,
yeah,
which, you know.
But I think the problem is, though, because we are, you know, we can occasionally get, you know, asshole-ish about religion. But compared to some of the sort of, like, angry atheist dialogue out there, like, since that's already out there, you know, we don't really bother, you know? Like, P.Z. Myers and Chris Hitchens do a fine job of being P.Z. Myers and Chris Hitchens, so we
don't
have to.
I don't think P.Z. Myers is that negative. P.Z. Myers hits on people who are idiots. He doesn't go up to the average Christian in the street and slap him in the face and tell him how dumb they are.
That's true. But Christopher Hitchens does.
On every level, pretty much hits hard against theists and believers of any type. He really, from the ground up, like if you're a guy on the street who's just like, yeah, I'm a Christian, whatever, bam, Christopher Hitchens is going to punch you in the face too. But yeah. I don't think P.Z. Myers.
And he might too, because he is an angry, scrappy drunk.
Oh, man, he is. From everything I hear. All right, so, but I was just saying, this is all culminating, and it's building, and we're going to have a God episode eventually.
Yeah.
It'll be funny, because we're good, but I don't want to be self-centered and narcissistic.
No, it'll be the God and Chuckles episode.
God and Chuckles. God and Giggles. Anyways.
Oh, man, how did I miss the alliteration?
I don't know. Gods and Giggles, I think, will be the episode.
Wait, isn't Gods and Giggles that funny book about the Civil War?
Yeah, I think that's a little off from what it actually is.
It's almost like that was the joke.
Maybe. Almost. It's maybe like I was playing the straight man, so the joke would be enhanced.
Wait, I'm not sure. I think not getting the joke and actively pushing against the joke.
I wasn't pushing against the joke.
Is the wrong way to be the straight man. That's all I'm saying.
I was just taking the joke and I was like, haha, but I think it's a little different. You see, like, because.
Okay, you're taking it, you're spinning it.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't realize you were, well, you know. Mm-hmm. I was like, haha, it's actually Gods and Generals, but, you know, and so I'm just saying, oh, I hear a little off. And that's straight man-ism. It's just.
Okay, I think.
All right. Wait, I'm not done.
Okay.
Don't try and break. I saw you trying to break.
Go.
I had to interrupt us.
That's good instinct. That's good instinct.
That was interrupt
there. That's what I wanted to do.
I wanted to say that I think that if you don't live life in a way that is at least philosophically self-centered, you're probably screwing it up. Like, self-centered to me, you know, people think it means, well, everything is about me, right?
Right.
Or they say, oh, that would be like everything is about me. Well, it is. You're the ultimate authority on your perceptions, your judgments, your morality, and everything else. And no one else can, by any means, get into your head and make you anything else.
Right.
I mean, a lot of brainwashing can do a close job, but still. So my thinking here is, instead of, you know, using self-centered as a negative term in a negative connotation, think about the real need to be self-centered, the need to evaluate all of your actions, feelings, perceptions, and decisions on a really critical basis. I think that's the way everybody should live their life. They should be self-centered in that manner. And I think if you're self-centered in that manner, then you act less selfishly, which is a different thing.
Right. See, and here's the end where, because I admit, there were points in that sort of, you know, proposition and monologue where, mm-hmm. like, eventually you pulled it out, like, you kept on drifting in that direction, and then you would tack away because that's not who you are. But I got to say, there were points where it was like, uh-oh, the wind and the current are pushing this little sailboat dangerously close towards Rand Island.
I'm not going towards Objectivist Island, not inside the center. I think I really have a belief that's unfounded. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's belief.
That acting morally, maybe for genetic reasons or who knows other what other reasons, I think it brings you more pleasure than acting selfishly. I think selfish people get closed off. They have isolation feelings. They have self-hatred to a large degree. The way to feel good about yourself is really to be selfless.
Right. That in some way, like, that kind of reminds me of Mill's sort of, you know, higher feeling sort of utilitarianism.
Right.
Where, you know,
I have no basis for proving that. I just, it's been my own experience in life. I think selfishness often comes from other negative feelings, like self-hatred, which is kind of goofy, but it's actually just the way it works out. You don't like yourself, and you kind of push that out on other people. And I think when you start doing selfless things, you start to like yourself. You start to really appreciate yourself. You see, when you see real, like a real pleasantness or a real pleasure from someone else because you've done something selfless for very little reward. Because it's not that there's no reward. It's not that there's this absolute altruism that I'm proposing. But, you know, just the feel-goodness of seeing somebody who's made really happy by one of your actions. I think we're possibly genetically wired to like that. And why shouldn't we?
All right, yeah. I think you're right. And to kind of spin this conversation around, put a little bow on this segment, you know, tie that very attractive. I'm going to say, acting, you know, kind of selflessly in that way, betterment of both people around me and myself. That's another one of my New Year's resolutions.
Hey, Dave, high five.
Selflessness out of spite. It's very confusing, but I think it's going to make the world a better place.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, on that note, we will be back with a little bit more of I'm Trying to Think. Think episode 25. Delightful. That was just that's a wonderful little song.
Yep.
All right. So now it's time, as you must do on any kind of broadcast show, or I mean, it's the law.
Yep. It's the end of the year. It's the beginning of the new year, which means the year ended recently. So we are obligated to give out awards.
Yep. Best and worst.
You got it. It's the rules.
It's the rules. All right, where do you want to start, Dave? We got a long list.
Oh, man, so many categories.
Somewhat long.
We already did the technical awards before the show in a little bunker so no one could see them, right?
Yeah.
That's important about awards.
I didn't want anybody to see that. Do you want to just go with, let's go with the easy ones. Best TV show of 2009.
Ooh, does it have to be a new TV show or just a thing I watched?
Dave, the rules aren't that strict.
Okay, yeah. You know, I mean, I finally got around to watching The Wire this year, all the whole thing. That is great, you know. The Mad Men is great, you know, going with, you know, conventional wisdom on both of those. Conventional wisdom is right. They're both great. Lost has continued to be awesome, you know. I've enjoyed the IT Crowd, 30 Rock in terms of comedy. But ultimately, what I'm going to have to go with is Terry Jones' Medieval Lives, that series of, like, six shows he did on how people live in medieval times.
Well, that's a dark horse candidate.
Left field.
There.
Left field choice.
I don't know about left field, but, you know.
I know. But, you know, I've been enjoying it. Right. Also, Michael Palin travel documentary is also strong. Basically, a thing that some Monty Python guy did for the BBC where they sort of walk around somewhere and talk about history. Uh-huh. That thing is thumbs up by Dave.
It's pretty easy to get by the Dave filter, if I'm correct here.
It doesn't take all that much, no.
All right. Well, I have to say, Lost, huge improvement over the previous season. Battlestar Galactica will be at the bottom of the list because that show just went down.
You still got the end of that show anger going? You keep that fire burning bright. I kind of give you credit for that.
That, how can I put this in words? It sucked.
That was succinct.
About three episodes sucked, and each one sucked worse than the previous one. I don't know. I mean, I could go on and on. There's no reason to.
Here we are.
All right. Lost, huge improvement. IT Crowd, very funny. But the winner and still champion, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Just getting the crown by sheer dint of volume watching?
New episodes this year were quality. Good stuff. Good stuff this year. So, I just want to, you know, give a little shout out to the SpongeBob.
All right. I'm sure that will console the creators as they weep inconsolably in their money pits.
Yeah, in their houses made of money that are full of money. Best movie.
Ooh. There were a couple good movies this year. I'm trying to think.
You know what, though? I'm going to go... I didn't go in order, so if you'll excuse me for a moment.
Okay.
Worst TV show.
Oh, worst TV show? I don't know, because the thing for me I think I know where you're going with that. I have a hunch.
Oh.
I have a hunch.
You might.
Honestly, here's the problem. Just with the way my life has changed and sort of my media consumption habits are, I don't watch terrible television anymore. I don't know. Maybe... In terms of things I've watched, I guess because I was at the gym, I will give worst TV show to SportsCenter the month after Tiger Woods started sticking his penis in ladies. That's the worst TV show. It was SportsCenter for that month.
I think, that's in strong running. And don't think I didn't think about giving this to Battlestar Galactica. I did.
No.
I discovered a show that was way worse than any show that's ever been on television. And so it wins worst TV show of 2009. And that is, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant.
Is that like one of those horrible BBC shows? Or is it like one of those ones on a weird miscellaneous network like Bravo or...
It's on a miscellaneous
inexplicably
network.
TLC,
it's a reality show.
Or Discovery.
It's a reality show. It's on a... You know, ridiculous
some horrible
network.
Cable network,
right? And it is
basically to keep it short. Is it exactly what it sounds like? It is
exactly what it sounds like. It is. The entire show is women who think they have to poop, but then they have a baby.
They really, I mean, I'm not a lady. I don't have a lady's parts, but I feel like there should be a pretty significant difference between a feeling that happens in your baby parts and in your butt. I'm not a gynecologist. I don't know this for a fact, but that, wow.
It's a TV show, Dave. I don't know nothing about nothing. I thought I knew a lot of things. Then I found out that this TV show existed. That's pretty much it. Goodbye.
Okay. I think that wraps up worst television
shows. Runaway winner in my book. All right, so then we're going to go to best movie. Go ahead.
All right, man. I think this year... Up was really good. Just another, you know, Pixar just keeps knocking them out of the park. They're just good. Man, they're good.
Up is good, yeah.
I saw a bunch of other good movies this year, but I'm kind of blanking on them right now. So I guess if that's the first one that comes to mind, maybe that's significant. Maybe that means something.
Maybe it means something. I will say Up is a good movie, and I appreciated the quality of it a great deal. District 9.
Oh, District 9 was strong, yes.
Outstanding film.
That was fantastic.
Outstanding film of this year. It was a Transformers movie. That wasn't too good. Yeah. It hurts me a little. But that wasn't too good.
Okay.
Yeah, District 9. That was a good movie.
Oh, District 9 was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Loved that movie. All right, worst movie.
I heard that Transformers movie wasn't very good. I don't know. I didn't see it, though.
It wasn't.
I don't know. Again, my problem with, like, just flat out going for worst movie is, like, movies that I'm pretty sure I'm going to hate, I don't wind up watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because I'm not forced to watch them, you know? I mean, the worst movie this year might have been, you know, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel. but I didn't see it, you know? So I have no real authority to comment on that fact.
Well, I'm going
to
say...
Jason Lee was delightful in Alvin and the Chipmunks. I don't know.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, okay, for my worst movie of 2009.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to pick a movie that I did not see and that was released in 2008.
Ooh, very bold.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Ooh, that was pretty bad.
There you go.
That was pretty bad.
Such a stinker. The stench lasted for another year.
Okay. Fair by me. I'll concur.
All right.
Next category. Moving along.
Next category.
Man.
Best video game.
You know, if frickin' award ceremonies could chug along at this nice clip, I might actually watch them ever.
Possibly.
Probably not.
Still, best video game.
You know, I can say the Batman game, because I had a lot of fun just kind of Batmaning around. That's what you do, you know. You punch people, you shoot grappling hooks, you sneak around, you throw batarangs. It's just Batmaning around.
I haven't played that one yet.
It's great.
I'm going to say Assassin's Creed 2, because I had a lot of fun assassinating around. But an honorable mention to World of Warcraft, which continues to get better with every patch.
All right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Worst video game.
Again, the things that look like they're going to be horrible, I generally don't buy. All right. So,
I got a worst video game of 2009. Every game you motherfuckers on Facebook invite me to.
Oh,
goddamn motherfuckers.
Okay, yeah, I'll say Farmville. Farmville is the worst game of 2009.
I actually have fun
because I'm getting tired of that shit.
Playing Farmville, but seeing even me who occasionally plays Farmville. I'm sick of other people showing me that they're playing Farmville. Maybe if you have a special gift to offer me.
Whatever.
But if you're just telling me that you leveled up, F you.
Yeah, there's an adorable baby sheep. Whatever, I don't care.
No one cares. Mafia Wars, I like to play. Don't need to be spammed by your bullshit. But let me tell you something. I've made my choices, okay? I'm going with Farmville. I'm going with Mafia Wars. I'm going with Restaurant City. And I've got this Crazy Planets game I play, okay? I'm not like Mafia Wars is it. Don't give me Ninja Wars. Don't give me Dragon Wars. Don't give me Night Castle Wars. No, Mafia Wars. I settled on a Wars game. It's Mafia Wars. Farmville. No Fishville. No Farm Town. Farmville. Restaurant City. Again, no Restaurant Town. No Restaurant Ville. Restaurant City. That's it. That's what I play. We're done.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
John. Huh? Dave has sent you an invitation to Restaurant Wars.
I might play that. That sounds a little bit like a spin. I could try that. I mean, do I get like launch hot dog missiles or something?
You're damn right.
All
right
then. I think I'm in. All right. Okay. Next category. Best podcast.
Ooh. You know, Studio 360 has been putting out a lot of really good content lately. That Kurt Anderson, man, he just gives you all the scoop on what is up in the world of the arts. I'm really enjoying that.
Dave.
Yeah?
Best podcast.
Ooh, man.
No, best.
You know?
Podcast.
You know, I could do without the sort of, like, I'd rather just pay for it than have the month where Ira Glass takes the extra 2 minutes to ask you to donate. But, I mean, This American Life is a rock, you know?
Okay.
What are you going to say about This American Life? I mean, that's just great.
Dave, best podcast.
Ooh, man. You know, they don't do episodes as much as they used to, but you look nice today, guys. Just keep putting out quality.
Just right, you know what? This is not working.
Moving on.
Worst podcast.
No,
stop there. Moving on. Best athlete.
You know, due to his fierce love of basically just entertaining, I'm saying Chad Ochocinco all the way. He's just his Twitter, you know, worth a look every now and then. You know, I don't bother subscribing, but, you know, tells you what's up. Tells you what's up in team locker rooms. He plans very elaborate celebrations, and he does it. You know, he gets fined for them, but he takes it all just to entertain you. I just like that he cares so much about being an entertainer as well as a competitor. And, hey, he's going to the playoffs this year, too, you know?
Playoffs.
Everything's coming up Chad Ochocinco this year.
All right, my best athlete of the year, Terrell Pryor. If I could just read the quote again with regards to Michael Vick. Terrell Pryor said, not everybody's the perfect person in the world. I mean, everyone kills people, murders people, steals from you, steals from me, whatever. I think that people need a second chance, and I've always looked up to Michael Vick, and I always will.
Beautiful.
Just, wow.
Beautiful.
All right, worst athlete.
Worst athlete.
I've already got mine. You ready?
Go for it.
It looks like you might be still making the final cuts.
I'm pondering.
All right.
I'm pondering.
Okay, he may not be the worst athlete of 2009, but he is the worst athlete of 2009. Tiger Woods. You fucking fucker. You wasted all my fucking time with your goddamn penis putting in the Perkins girl. Look.
Oh, man, you even know another name. I don't have any of that shit. You know another name involved in it. That is unfortunate. See, I've managed to get away
Perkins
from that.
Perkins is the restaurant at which she worked.
See, that's worse. That's an even smaller detail.
Well,
that's
Sports horrible. Center is on. It's nothing I could do.
You know, yeah, just for making me...
Also, when you fuck a girl at Perkins and you're Tiger fucking Woods, I know I'm dropping a lot of F-bombs here, but trust me.
Yeah.
When you're fucking a Perkins girl and you're fucking Tiger fucking Woods, that is some bullshit. Okay? That is bullshit. You do not... We, common people, live a dream. We wake up in the morning. We go to sleep at night wishing that we were millionaire athletes, celebrities, who could just do get in any club and go wherever we want. When you fuck a Perkins girl, you degrade us all, okay? You're ruining all... We go to sleep now and we're like, oh, I've got millions of dollars. I'm fucking a girl at Perkins? What the... No!
Oh, man, you know, I'm actually not familiar with Perkins. Like, what kind of food do they do?
Perkins is like Shoney's or, Bob Evans. It's like a roadside diner.
So it's like Southern for TGI. Like, is it Southern for TGI Fridays or is it Southern for, like...
It's a Waffle House.
Waffle. Okay, so it's that kind of thing.
I mean, most of the restaurants might be a little nicer.
Uh-huh.
Than your average waffle. I don't know if you've ever been to a Waffle House in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm an
IHOP man. I stay on the northern side of the IHOP Waffle House line. Thank you very much.
Every Perkins I've been in has been nicer, but it still breaks down to a Waffle House, an Eaton Park, a Denny's, whatever.
Right. Okay, yeah, you know, I think I'll go with Tiger for worst athlete just because, I got sick of hearing about him on SportsCenter.
Exactly. I get sick of hearing about him anyways because all he does is hit a little ball with a club. There's no violence in the game. There's no funny thing. Funny things never happen in golf. How many times do you see, like, the comedy bits in golf, like the gag reels for golf are always, like, guys throwing clubs? Whatever. I could throw a club. It's much cooler. The gag reels in other sports are way funnier.
Yeah. All right, I mean, sorry. For a sport that you think is sedate, I will say baseball can have some quality gag reel stuff.
Yeah, I don't like baseball, but gag reels from baseball are almost always the best.
Guys getting hit with fly balls they're trying to catch.
Right, running into each other, hitting the wall while they're running backwards, balls.
The best one is always, like, if it's in a minor league stadium, it's one where the guy runs into the wall to make a catch, and he winds up just running through a wall.
Because the walls aren't built very well, yeah.
Those are the best.
All right, next category. Best song you started listening to that is at least 10 years old.
Ooh, Game of Pricks, Guided by Voices. Just about a minute and a half, just no time wasted. Just real solid piece of just sort of rock and roll.
All righty then. I'm going to go with Power by Snap.
I got the power!
Exactly.
Actually, quick story about that. Once, I'm pretty sure I was about 6 or 7 years old. You know, I had an alarm clock radio set to the pop station.
Uh-huh.
Comes on, starts playing, you know, scared the fucking shit out of me.
Yeah, that's...
It was a terrifying way to wake up.
I could visualize
horrifying way to wake up.
Yeah, I can visualize that. Sometimes, because I put on the local rock station, I wake up to Bon Jovi.
Ooh.
That's no good.
Yeah, I think that's why eventually you know what I wake up now to? Because this is what I've set my clock radio to.
Uh-huh.
It's... actually, I think... I'm trying to remember if it's the beeping, and then when I turn it off, it briefly switches to radio, and I get a giant burst of static, or if I wake up to a giant burst of static, and then I switch it to beeping. It's one of those two, and I don't remember which right now.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's something. I don't know. That's how Dave's day starts.
And I like the band, but sometimes when I wake up, the rock station's playing Pink Floyd, You don't want to wake up to Pink Floyd. Mm. That colors your whole day. Yeah, he's the... Why, that should not be played before 1 p.m.
Just a cup of coffee.
I'm just saying.
Because I'm very, very tired.
Exactly. It's not good.
There's no signal I'm receiving.
Oh, boy.
I hope my wife is made some coffee.
Best thing you found that you thought you lost years ago.
Ooh, pack of AA batteries.
A pack of AA batteries? That yeah. You found a pack of AA batteries, and that was the most exciting thing that you thought you lost years ago?
I don't have that much that I've had long lost. You know, and I move around every couple of years, so I don't have the opportunity to get something buried that deep. You know, I mean, I moved in August, so...
That's true.
So, yeah, I'm saying big pack of AA batteries. How about you? You got something more exciting?
Mine was one of the guns for Fortress Maximus.
Oh, man. That's the inexplicably valuable Transformer.
He's very valuable. He's incredibly valuable Transformer. It's because everybody's lost all the pieces, except me.
That sucker up to four digits yet?
It's four digits. Oh, yeah, baby. That is
absurd.
That is a $1,000 Transformer to some collectors because of its completeness.
Oh, collectors. Yeah. It's a very kind and gentle word for morons.
Well, I'm a collector, but... I'm not certain collectors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're kind of a collector.
I mean...
You friggin' collector.
Yeah, you'd have to think...
You a moron.
Yeah. I have to be a collector, because otherwise, why am I holding on to this very valuable piece of plastic rather than selling it to some other idiot? Because I like it. It reminds me of my youth.
You are a nostalgist.
And it was also a gift. This actually is not one that I've had since I was a little... itty-bitty kid. I got this one later in life as a gift from a friend, so...
Yeah, so it's got double nostalgia.
Yeah, I don't feel that it's fair to sell something that somebody else gave you as a gift.
All right.
Now, my kids will sell it to some idiot for 50 grand, but that's their prerogative.
That guy's gonna be 50, and he'll be like, a little bit like, I got the Fortress Maximus! And then his heart gonna go out, and he'll die. That's my prediction.
Well, it's possible. But also, $50,000 would be like 50 cents because of inflation.
Oh, yeah, it'll be hyperinflation. Yeah.
It's probably more like a guy who's like, whatever, this looks like a thing my kids will play with and break.
Yeah.
And my kids will be like, why does he have a 3-foot-tall piece of plastic crap? I mean, I knew Dad was into weird stuff, but what the hell is this? Let's be fair, I'm going to raise my kids telling them what it is. But anyways.
Yeah. No, but they're going to rebel against you. God, they're both going to be Letterman. Ugh. Oh.
Anyways.
And you like football, so they're both going to be like
baseball
outfielders.
Loving.
They're going to be outfielders. You're going to raise not even a center fielder.
Why am I having
kids? Face it, they're going to be kind of big types, power hitter types. You know, they're not going to have the speed for center field. You're going to raise a left fielder and a right fielder.
That's horrible.
Maybe even a first baseman.
All right, next category. Best centrist Democratic senator who got ridiculous concessions for their state to support the health care bill.
Ooh, Landrau? Nelson. Nelson Landrau.
Nelson. I like his jowls.
He's got good jowls, but I don't know. I always have a soft spot. I have a soft spot in my heart.
As you do.
For just Louisiana Democrats. I don't know. They're just some genial, you know, Mayor Nagin, like just... The whole thing, it's just
the
just
bald,
a nice
crazy
sort of,
guy.
Yeah, just I like Louisiana politics style. I'm going with Landrau.
Okay.
I'm not even sure if that's how you pronounce her name, but it's probably not because it's probably like vaguely Frenchy or Cajun or something. Yeah.
Well, what's the bald crazy guy?
I don't remember.
The Democratic advisor for
James Carville.
Yeah,
James Carville.
He's from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Louisiana.
That's the one.
Yeah. All right, best internet thing.
Ooh, best internet thing. Lately, I'd probably have to go with Slaughterhouse 90210.
All right.
Which, if you don't know what it is, I think it's a slaughterhouse90210.tumblr.com.
Okay.
Basically, it's just very simple blog where it's just like a couple times a day. Basically, it just will give you an image from a stupid television show juxtaposed with a quote from literature.
All right. That sounds pretty good.
It's just fun.
I got a lot of candidates in this.
The internet produces a lot of things.
Auto-tune the news.
Auto-tune the news has been strong.
Yeah.
Not sure how well it's going to just hold up going into the new...
Because
auto-tune has the potential to have kind of a meme crash. Like, I could see that as very likely for auto-tune. But, man, they did have a great year. Just the year that was passed, and no one can take that away from them.
This is why you're fat. Regretzi. Regretzi is strong. You know, There I Fixed It is great. Fail Blog, you know, had a few winners here and there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I'm done with people talking about Fail, but Fail Blog has been, you know, the best at what they do.
You know,
I will give them that.
I was criticizing you earlier for doing things out of spite. But there are people now who are like, oh, I'm done with Fail and Win. And out of spite.
You're going to keep
going
with it?
I'm going to keep going with it.
That's fair.
Because it's
fair.
It's not a meme, okay? It is language. It's how we talk now. Forget about it. You know what I mean?
I don't, honestly, I care less about... I don't mind the language part that much. I mind, like, a lot of it seems lazy to me. Like, I feel like there's more to be said for a lot of things than just Fail. But people
and
will just say Fail
I will say
and move on.
More than just Fail.
No, that's true. It's not you. Like,
I'm wordy.
Yeah, you are. I mean, we know this. You know, if there's one person I'm not going to say, man, he should take more effort and just say things in more detail, it's you, because you're a long-winded motherfucker. And we know this.
That is true.
But I just feel like Fail is often just a cop-out that people use instead of producing, you know, thought or content, you know?
That's fair. I mean, it's possible. I guess I'm not encountering that as much.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Worst internet thing.
For a record, every year I've thought about what the worst thing on the internet is, the answer is once again comments.
Oh, yeah. Forum commenters are bad.
No. Forum commenters, YouTube commenters, commenters on an article. If you name the thing on the internet, it would be better without comments. Chuck, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
When's the last time you scrolled down to the end of something, and then suddenly like, oh, this insightful comments really put a button on all this?
It has happened. I'm not going to say there weren't insightful comments and things that I've seen.
Okay, it's true. I'm painting with broad brush.
When is the last time I thought a majority of the comments were helpful?
Yeah.
Never.
Basically, I'd say at best, like, there are some places where people try really hard to cultivate, like, no, you need to, you know, you must be this tall to ride the ride.
Yeah.
And those places, you know, can produce discussion that is worth hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the best of internet commenting, you know, with those places accepted, is basically, you know, trying to just find a needle in a haystack, except all the hay is poop.
It's like finding a needle in a needle stack.
And all the needles
are
poop. And
you get stabbed a lot. And if they're poop, then you get infections.
Yep.
I'm going to go with worst internet thing, though. I'm going to go, okay, commenters, yeah, we can, whatever, that's...
Yeah, they should be retired. They should probably be retired.
It's retired from the category, as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to go with, thanks to Regretzi, I'm going to go with a lot of the things on Etsy. Etsy is full of products that are interesting, and then it is also full of vagina-related products. Not, like, that would be useful, or that are sex toys, or that are some sort of manner of health thing, but rather sculptures, paintings, and knitted vaginas.
I am woman, Chuck. Hear me roar.
Wonderful.
I'm A-okay with that. Although, is the problem, are they all
Have you seen
terrible? Are they terrible sculptures?
Yeah, oh, they're terrible. They're terrible.
See, I'm saying, you know, if
terrible
you do
sculptures.
A good job, you know, a real nice, you know, knitted hoo-ha, go,
we're not,
you know.
We're not talking about George O'Keefe here, okay?
Good on you.
We're talking about, like...
No, we're talking about G.O.K.E. 15.
Right. Exactly. And then...
Man, I'd buy, I'd buy prints from G.O.K.E. 15.
Here, shitty paintings of gay sex. What?
Hey, you know, that makes sense to me, because, one, plenty of people are interested in gay sex. You know, it's a growth market, you know, culturally.
Uh-huh.
Two... Plenty of people are shitty painters. So why wouldn't there be shitty paintings of gay sex? A lot of people want to paint the subject matter and don't have the chops to execute it.
This might be me.
You know what I mean?
I copped to a prejudice that I had yesterday. amongst friends. And some of my friends admitted that they also have this prejudice. I have a prejudice where I believe that gay men are smarter or and have more taste than straight men.
Right. Right. It's the sort of, you know, the queer eye for the straight guy fallacy.
Right, exactly.
The everyone is a snazzy interior decorator fallacy.
Or at least, yeah, I just feel like they're more intelligent or more aware, you know, which is not necessarily true.
Oh, no, no.
And then I think about gay pride parades.
Thick homosexual gentlemen.
And that,
and well, I mean like, thick I've, intelligently, not, been, not as like,
I've been
know,
lucky
a
enough that,
type.
Well, I mean, I tend to not befriend people who are too stupid. Well, I'm doing a moderate job at that at least. But my gay friends have all been pretty good. They're pretty smart, pretty aware people. Pretty. Mostly. Anyways. I also then think of gay pride parades, and I'm like, oh, no, that, never mind. They're very unaware. But what are you going to do? So that's prejudice I cop to. So maybe
okay.
I think
so
that...
So that's looking, why the terribleness right, of the paintings you expect...
Right, because you expect
that... if it's a gay
that,
sex thing, it should be executed
it
well.
It should be executed well, right. It should be nice paintings of gay sex that gay men who have good taste would want to purchase. But, you know...
I don't know, maybe it's...
Larry Craig is gay, so not all gay men are smart.
And also, maybe it's one of those things where it's like... I don't know, the crazy ladies who, like, maybe it's, like, by women, for women paintings of gay men having sex. You know, it's that, like, sort of lady subculture where they like watching gay gentlemen go, you know, go at it. Which, I find it, you know, it probably says something about our culture that considering that, you know, one of the major cultural obsessions of, you know, America is basically dudes watching ladies go at it, it seems kind of unfair and a double standard that ladies who like to watch dudes go at it is a weird subculture. But it is. And well, I'm saying maybe they're the ones who do it.
It's possible. But when it comes to subcultures and acceptance by culture, yeah, double standard, it's, yeah. What are you going to, that's
yep.
That's pretty much the definition. I mean.
Yeah, our culture has.
Otherwise culture would really yep. not exist so much.
Our culture has made its decisions about, gay gentlemen and gay ladies, and which it wants to see, and those decisions are kind of bullshitty, but that's how it is.
All right, I'm going to fast forward right to the big ones. Here we go, ready? All right. Worst thing.
Ooh, worst thing.
Of 2009.
I got a couple candidates I'm going to run down. You got one?
You know, I could go in a lot of ways here. It's the lack of government... oversight and strong regulations with regards to
the financial system.
Continued acts of terrorism.
Right.
More deaths occur in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right. Just continued, war.
The Iranians being unable to realize a real change of government in their country.
Right. You know, hopefully this year will be better for them. You know?
I'm hoping. Yeah. I mean, I think those are some of the worst things.
Yeah. Those are pretty bad. But I got to say, for me, my worst thing, 2009, it's pretty simple. You know, as you may know, people of the Jewish faith on Christmas Day, very often, go and see a movie.
Okay.
The Manor Theater this year, the 23rd, so I've made a good plan for this, is showing, for those who don't know, the Manor Theater is a small, kind of independent-y movie theater in Squirrel Hill, very Jewish neighborhood of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they were showing A Serious Man, the new sort of film by the Coen brothers, which is a very sort of personal, semi-autobiographical film of theirs about, a Jewish man in the 60s, facing a crisis of faith. So, it's a very kind of Jewish-oriented movie. So, then on Christmas Day, the, day when probably more Jews go to the movies than any other day on the calendar, this theater in a very Jewish neighborhood has stopped showing the most Jewish movie of the year on the 24th. They swap it out. And I just wanted to see it on that day. In that place. How do they miss that? Such an obvious business decision. So the Manor Theater gets 2009 worst thing of the year in about as much the same way that kind of I think 2006 or 2005, I think it might have been 2005, I don't remember, went to the Szechuan house for closing on Christmas Eve. Come on, guys. Understand business in the neighborhood in which you operate.
I think you might be right. That might be the worst thing. All right, best thing.
Best thing of the year.
Yeah, give us the drum roll. That's a drum roll. That's functional. Yep. All right.
Yeah, you got one? Or is that just a drum roll fizzling
or nothing? I thought you were ready for something.
No,
big.
That drum roll was sound and fury signifying nothing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oof.
Okay, best thing of 2009. I might be biased, but my tiger mount dropping for my druid on Christmas Eve in Zograb, after I've done that place like 50 times, finally, tiger mount. Bam.
Nerd. Nerd.
Tiger.
Nerd.
Bam.
Okay.
Do you think that's the best thing?
No, that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Christmas. It's got a lot of elements to it. I don't know. I think either that or... Yeah, the whole Barack Obama thing was pretty good. Yeah, the whole inauguration thing.
I feel pretty good about that.
That was pretty good.
But Tiger.
I think I may go with that.
Tiger Mount. Riding through Dalaran. Everybody's looking at me. They're like, oh, look at that guy. Tiger Mount. Yeah. I only have one response to that, really. And, you know, we'll take a break here. We'll be right back with more I'm Trying to Think. But this is how I feel about the Tiger Mount.
Like the crack of the whip, I snap a tack, front to back, in this thing called rap. Singing like a double rhyme, double on a heavenly level. Bang the bass, turn up the treble. Radical mind, day and night, all the time. 7-14, live, divine. Maniac, radiac, winning the game. I'm the lyrical Jesse James.
And welcome back to episode 25 of I'm Trying to Think with Chuck Werner and Dave Stern. I'm Chuck, that's Dave. We did a pretty good show. I liked it. What do you think, Dave?
Man, were you trying to just get that all out in one breath? Like that seemed like you were really in a rush to get
I had things run to do, Dave.
That. Busy man.
Not really.
No, I didn't think so. That sounded unlikely. Yeah. That sounded very unlikely.
It's that'd be out of character for me.
Yeah, I know. All right, busy on a Sunday. That's crazy. Yeah.
So, Dave, is there anything else you'd like to say on this, our
first show of the year?
First show of the year.
First show, 010.
010.
010, Year of the Fish.
All right. Is it?
I don't know. Probably not.
You know what
I mean, Chinese New Year hasn't even happened yet. And also, I don't think Year of the Fish is a thing.
I don't know. They got dog. They got horse.
They got
cat.
Year of the Gazelle.
They have cat.
No, it's Year of the Dog, Year of the Horse, Year of the Gazelle, Year of the Kangaroo, Year of the Fish, I think is one,
mm-hmm.
Year of the African Elephant.
All right.
Year of the Sphinx.
Okay.
And Year of the, what's it called, what's the bird with the funny head?
Mongoose?
Yes. That's the bird with the funny head. Year of the Mongoose.
All right.
Okay, I think that's all of them.
Yeah. Rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, dragon, snake, horse, ram, monkey, rooster, dog, pig.
That year is an incredible year, the year of that beast.
It's hard to, I mean, what are you going to do? All right.
It's like a triple chimera.
If you were actually curious, it's the year of the ox right now. February 14th will bring us the year of the tiger, like my tiger mount. It's a tiger.
Yeah.
I'm making claw motions, but nobody can.
He's making furious claw motions.
Ha-cha-cha-cha.
And he's also going ha-cha-cha-cha, which I don't think is a cat thing. I don't think tigers can do that.
Why not?
Wait, actually, does Snagglepuss do that? Is that why you're thinking cats do that?
Ha-cha-cha-cha.
I don't think he does.
All right, well.
I don't know.
Irregardless, We will be back in 2 weeks with another episode of I'm Trying to Think. That'll be episode 26. I don't know why I felt like pointing that out, but I did.
Because you like adding.
I do. Numbers are fun. So, from here in our lovely Chuck Warner Studios, the Squirrel Hill branch.
Yep.
This has been I'm Trying to Think. Say goodbye, Dave.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll be right back.